The Holy Gospel for Trinity Sunday is written in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age." Grace and peace to you all, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and it's a good time to ask, what's the Trinity about anyway? In our gospel reading, we heard Jesus commission the disciples to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But we not only baptize our children in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we also marry our spouses, bury our dead, administer the sacraments, and gather for worship in the name of the triune God. Everywhere you go in the world, you find Christians using this language for God. We address God as three persons, but we confess God is one. Now, is this some kind of mumbo-jumbo? Or is it something that's very important and very unique to our faith in Christ? Let's look first at some of the confusion surrounding this. Christians are called Trinitarian, as opposed to Unitarian. Unitarian means being one. We often hear it said that we all believe in the same God, but this is not so, except, of course, among other Trinitarians or other Christian denominations. And if we haven't realized it already in our day and age, just to believe in God or to believe there is a God is not enough. Because in a fallen world, there are all kinds of gods we create. The question is not, do you believe there is a God? The question is rather, in what sort of God do you believe? That is, what is the name of your God? Tell me his or her reputation. Tell me what he or she, your God, does for you. That's his name. Everybody has a God. As the First Commandment points out, whatever we fear, love, or trust in more than God, that becomes our God. Even atheism, you know, is a religion because it is a faith system. Its faith is that there is no God. And since they cannot prove there is no God, and we cannot prove there is a God, they are both systems of faith. We believe it. So atheism is a religious faith. This idea that we all believe in the same God is something that also robs Christians from carrying out the great commission Jesus gave us to go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, why go and make them disciples of Jesus if we all have the same God anyway? People ask, why should we impose our religion on others when they already have a religion of their own? That's like saying, why should we send medical assistance to people suffering from malaria or for AIDS when they already have their own witch doctors or medicine men or herbal medications? I mean, we all practice the same medicine, don't we? No, we don't. Others are confused to learn that the word Trinity isn't even in the Bible. and that the Bible doesn't explicitly teach that God is triune. And that is correct. But the Bible does teach it implicitly, if not explicitly. That is, it assumes that if you know God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know that God reveals himself as three persons, or, as we say today, he wears three hats. Or we experience him, we know him, in three different ways. Paul, the apostle, assumes you know this when he writes, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And Jesus assumes that you know this when he says, "Go into the world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's implicitly there. It's implied. God is triune. The doctrine of the Trinity is not something thought up by some wise-alecky theologians in their ivory towers. Very early in the Christian church, Christians found that it was necessary to speak of God in three ways: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why was it necessary? Because they could not say all that needed to be said about God. That is, they could not preach the gospel, they could not go and make disciples, unless they described God as one who makes himself known in three persons. Now, we can try this out ourselves. Suppose we wanted to share our Christian faith with someone, and we talked only about God, period. God, as we experience him and know him in creation, in nature, in the beauty of the flowers and the mountains and the stars, the Creator God that we heard of in the first chapter of Genesis reading this morning. And suppose we say nothing about God the Son, Jesus, nothing about the manger, the cross, the empty tomb, because we don't believe Jesus is God. He's just a prophet. He's a holy man. He's a teacher, good teacher. Would this be an accurate witness to our faith or to Scripture? Or to the claims of Jesus himself? Or suppose when we're speaking to our friend, we spoke only about God, the creator of the world, and about Jesus, his son, who came, lived, died, and rose a long time ago in Palestine. Is that all we know about God? And all we have to tell the world? Aren't they going to ask, well, what is God doing today? What about God's present activity in our lives today? Jesus said another counselor would come when he spoke to the disciples about his departure. Another like him would come. And he said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He'll take what is mine, my word, my teaching, my promise, and declare it to you. Paul, too, said, no one can confess Christ as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And Luther explained in the explanation of the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, he says, that what does this mean? It means I believe, I cannot believe in Jesus by myself, by my own understanding and effort, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. This is what God is doing today. The Holy Spirit is God in the present tense, now, today. When we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God's present work and his presence in our lives today. Does this mean, then, that we have three gods? Emphatically, no. It means that the God we know in Jesus Christ has three ways of revealing himself or of being God for us He wears three hats. He is the Creator God. He is the Redeemer God. He is the Counselor God. That is his name. On the one hand, Jesus spoke repeatedly about the Father who sent him. And on the other hand, Jesus spoke about God the Holy Spirit when he prepared the disciples for his departure. He said he would no longer be with them physically, but he would be with them in a new way. Listen to Jesus speak about this. He says, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for I will send the Counselor to you, the Holy Spirit. I have been with you. He will be in you." What does that mean? Well, Jesus in the flesh, back in Palestine a long time ago, could only be in one place at a time, and that was Palestine 2,000 years ago. What Jesus is talking about here is that the Holy Spirit would universalize Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would make Jesus contemporary to believers in all times and in all places throughout all of history. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. We know a living Christ, a living Lord, a living God, because the Holy Spirit breathes in us. That's the language of Scripture. I can't explain it any better than that. Nor could Jesus, who said to Nicodemus that it's like the wind, which blows where it wills. You hear the sound of the wind, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It is a mystery how the Holy Spirit works. Perhaps you recently read the witness of Fox News reporter Kirsten Powers. She was raised an atheist until she heard the gospel proclaimed, the preaching of Christ, about a year ago. And she became a Christian. And when her family and friends asked her, "How did this happen?" she said, "I met Jesus." She didn't say, "I read about him. I heard about him from somebody else." She said, "I met him." That is the work of the Holy Spirit. There are no second-hand disciples who became Christian second-hand. We meet the living Christ. That is the work of God the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it helps to remember that the early church meant when they spoke of God in three persons. The word person comes from the Latin word persona, and it originally referred to the mask worn on stage by actors. By using masks, one actor could play many roles or parts in the play. And likewise, God plays three roles, three parts on the stage of human history. He is continual creator of all that exists. He didn't just create long ago. He is creating the cells that grow your hair and your fingernails and your body and your muscle and your bones right now. God never stops creating. He is the Creator God. He is the gracious Redeemer of the lost because he paid the price. He is the Counselor and Friend who breathes his word in us or whispers the word in our ear. He shows us three different faces or persona. He plays three different roles. And he is three different persons. But he is also one and the same God and Father of us all. Now, don't try to do the math. Three and one, one and three, because the math never works. If you don't understand it, then you have it right. if you do understand it, you have it wrong. There's a story about Augustine, St. Augustine, who was a brilliant theologian and one of the great fathers of the church. At one time, he was trying to figure out how to explain the Trinity. And he was walking along the beach of the Mediterranean. He saw a young boy digging a hole in the sand, and he asked him why he was digging a hole. And the boy said he was going to let in the Mediterranean Sea into his hole. And, you know, Augustine saw right away that he was doing the same thing as the boy. He was trying to fit the immortal, invisible, unsearchable God into his little pea brain. You can't do it. Perhaps I could use an analogy from my childhood, which is helpful for me. So long as we understand that there are no illustrations for the triune God, because God is not like anything else. You cannot say he is like this or like that. He is transcendent. Every illustration, if pressed, is inadequate. The idea of the Trinity belongs to the mystery of faith. It is mystery. I believe it because I can't understand it. But today is Father's Day. And I want to say that when I was a boy, and even now at age 82, I knew my father in three ways. Or I could say he had three ways of being father to me. First of all, I knew him as Papa. I lived in Papa's house. I belonged to Papa. He was my father. He was big and strong. I could depend on him for everything: food, clothing, shelter, protection. He let me know that I was an important part of his world, and he was an important part of mine. He provided for me. He loved me. Of course, there were other people in Papa's house, too, whom he also loved and cared for, as did I. Now, Papa was greater than I. He lived before I was born. But he played with me, he laughed with me, he taught me, and he disciplined me. My life was lived and it was shaped under the influence of Papa. But as I grew older, I learned more about Papa. He had a specific work, a skill that he performed. He had another life, his work life, that he did for us. Most every morning, he would leave the house and come home in the evening. He was a carpenter. And through this work, he provided for our needs. He gave of himself, of his life and his energy, to do this for us. And I can remember him leaving early and coming home late with his lunch pail and his dirty clothes. But one day, Papa, the carpenter, went off to work and he didn't come home. He was killed in a construction accident by a careless fellow worker. And so Papa, the carpenter, was taken from us when I was almost 10 years old. But third, as I grew older still, I discovered my father in yet another way. I discovered that something of him, that is, his love, his spirit, his teaching, his will, was in me, and it would be with me always. Later, when I became a carpenter, I understood more about Papa's life as a carpenter. And when I became a father of four, I understood more about what being Papa was about. I found out that Papa was always with me in some way. He is a part of my life to this day. If you know me, you know something about my Papa, because he is with me and in me. Now, I had only one father, but I knew him in these three ways. And when I think of him today, on Father's Day, I can't separate these three ways or these three persons. They are all one person. And yet, I can identify them separately also as three. One thing remains to be said. In telling you this, I have given you my Father's name. Now, by name, we mean how a person is known or identified. You and I have two names. We are known in two ways. We have first our personal name. We are known as Jack or Jill. But we have another name, meaning a reputation. We tell our young people, go out into the world and make a name for yourself. Or we say to people, you have a name in this community. Well, did you know that God has made a name for himself too? We didn't have to think up who he is philosophically, abstractly. God himself made himself known by his mighty acts. And those acts are creation, redemption, and counseling us. His name is the Creator, the Redeemer, the Counselor. His name, says Scripture, is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a name. God has a wonderful name. His name is Love. His name is Grace and Truth. He welcomes sinners. He saves sinners by his grace through faith in Christ. He has a reputation for being with us today in life's desperate places, being with us and lifting us up with his word and carrying us so that we are never alone. He is with us always to the end. Those who know the name of the Lord, that is the name of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, love to sing about it. And they sing, my God, how wonderful thou art, how great thou art, because God has a great name. So when we baptize our children, marry our spouses, bury our dead, administer the sacraments, gather for worship, we begin always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is, we are saying to one another that we are here. We have come together in the full confidence of who God is. We know his name. We know him. We know him as Creator and Provider. We know him as Redeemer and Savior. We know him as Counselor and Sustainer. He is no stranger. He is no blur up there, out there, somewhere, doing something for somebody somewhere. Is that the name of your God? Is that the way you know your God? He is not some God of nature who wound up the world like a clock and left it to tick on a shelf by itself and abandoned us as an absent landlord? Is that the name of your God? Is that the God you know? He is not the God of vengeance who promises immediate entrance into paradise for all children who will walk through the minefields and get blown up for the Ayatollah. Or the God who rewards you with 76 virgins and grants paradise to those who brutally kill and terrorize in his name. Is that the name of your God? What is the Lord's name? We praise his name every time we confess the creed and say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God in three persons. And on this Trinity Sunday, we say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and is now, and ever shall be, one true God, life without end. Amen.